40 is a good biblical number. After 40 years in the wilderness, Moses was allowed to see the land of promise, but not enter. 40 days fleeing in fear through the desert caused Elijah to think that he was the only faithful person left and that they were out to destroy him. 40 days being tested in the wilderness resulted in Jesus re-emerging in the power of the Spirit to declare his mission statement. 40 years on from ordination, I can resonate with Moses, having caught a glimpse of the land of promise in terms of inclusion, of the beloved community, and respect for the differing gifts that women and men bring to ministry. But know that we're not there yet. I can empathize with the Elijah trap that exaggerates the marginalization and aloneness that come after seismic events. I can enter, perhaps a little, into the mystery that struggles with destiny and wins through in the power of the Spirit, recognizing that there's still a long way to go. Tonight, I remember the future, not only for my sisters in ministry, but for many of our brothers who feel themselves confined, restricted, gasping for air, for the wide open spaces of God's love and mercy. To remember the future is to live like Anna of old, with the hope that what she yearns and prays and aches for is already present. To remember the future is to live like the 106-year-old Virginia McLaurin, who, bringing her history with her, had her dreams of visiting the White House at the invitation of a black president fulfilled a few weeks ago, when she met and danced with President Barack Obama. These two women, already living the future in their present, are vivid icons of outrageous hope. Their witness underlines the truth voiced by T.S. Eliot that we are only undefeated because we've gone on trying. But sometimes it's hard, isn't it? One of the difficulties is, if we raise our voices at all, we are accused of being feminist or militant. We are not militant. We are not in competition. We have responded to a call that is as valid and as true as that which has come to our brothers. It is often not regarded as such, but maybe that has taught us, even a little, how to listen more attentively. Having experienced the embrace of a suffering love and mined some of the treasures of darkness, maybe we now know, even a little, how to pray. Perhaps we have been too silent, too tactful, too afraid of rocking a boat that only very reluctantly keeps us on board. But maybe that has taught us, even a little, to walk on water. When we've been ignored, overlooked, dismissed, or patronized, maybe that has taught us, even a little, something of the upside-down nature of a kingdom where vulnerability and littleness move in from the margins to take a central place. In these days, when we sense an almost overt move from some within a church once characterized by its unity and diversity and its openness to recognizing others as traveling companions, to one marked by caution and a legalistic fundamentalism, Maybe we are being challenged, even a little, to find our voice, not for ourselves alone, but for a people who are hungry for more, more inclusion, more compassion, more grace, more awareness. If I were allowed only one sentence this evening, it would be this: sisters and brothers, do not lose faith with your awakened hearts. In the early years of the 20th century, American women workers campaigning for better conditions and inclusion sang a song, not only for themselves or even for womankind, but for all those who sought a better day, a recognition of a common humanity, equality of opportunity, and a desire to be judged on the fruits of their work rather than on their gender. Their plea was for bread, the very stuff of life, but also for roses, that which softens and makes life beautiful. Part of it went like this: as we come marching, marching, we battle too for men, for they are women's children, and we mother them again. Our lives shall not be sweated from birth until life closes. Hearts starve as well as bodies. Give us bread, but give us roses. We need each other. In an increasingly divided, anguished, and fearful world, it's not that we have a message to offer. Rather, we are the message. Women and men together, old and young together, black and white together, Protestant and Catholic together, and on and on and on. Those whose lives mirror something of the mercy of God, of the love of Jesus. And for all of us who are seeking, however stumblingly, to walk the way of servant leadership and to live the future in the present moment, we shall overcome someday. We shall see a sharing of life's glories, bread and roses, not because of our efforts, but because of the God who calls us in all our diversity. In the words of Dag Hammarskjöld, we did not choose the way. The way chose us, and we must be thankful. And we are.